want to thank God first for letting me bring the word today, and Brother Bruce for giving me an opportunity. I'm kind of nervous a little bit, but I'll be all right. I just want to thank God, give God the glory first for giving me a chance. Because before I bring the word, I just want to say that I never thought I'd be here. You know, if people that knew me, I was lost. Like I had mercy in my soul. But that's what I'm going to preach today about. We are chosen. He chose me. He chose you. Amen. So let us stand up for the word. And I'm going to read on 1 Chronicles 28. And I'm going to read 9 and 10. Amen. And the word of God says like this, in the name of Jesus. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with your whole heart, devotion, and with your willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build the temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work of God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you, Father, right now, my Father, for this opportunity, Father. I just pray that everything that comes out of my mouth is from you, not from me, Father. And I just pray that you anoint my mouth and that you anoint all my brothers and sisters to receive your word, Father. And I rebuke everything that's not yours today, Father. And I just thank you, Father, for your glory, Father. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. And we see here, God chose Solomon to build his temple, right? Solomon, you know, before they didn't have a temple, so God wanted to live somewhere. So he said, you know what? David was supposed to build the temple, but God said, you know what? I don't want you to build it. I want your son to build it. Because he told David, you are a warrior, you have too much blood in your hands. So he said, I want your son. So he chose Solomon to build the temple. And I was reading the whole story, how beautiful the temple was and everything. But do you know what? He chose you and me to build the temple too. But not only that, he chose you and me to be his temple. We are the temple of the living God. And he chose to live in you and me. And I was thinking about that, like, God, of all the places you can go and live, you came and live in me, my brothers and sisters. Imagine that, out of billions and billions of people. And I was looking up the word chosen. He handpicked me and you. For a reason, because he knows what you can do for God. A lot of us, like brothers say, we get lazy. We said, oh, let God do it. Let God do it. No, God said, I chose you so you can do it too. I mean, if God is going to move, he's going to move behind you and me. We are the body of Christ. And he cannot move without us. That's why he chose you and me to do his will right here. We got to do whatever he tells you. Sometimes we get scared and you say, I can't do this or I can't do that. No, God chose you and he knows you can do it. He knows your heart. He didn't make a mistake. He said, no, I'm going to choose. Oh, no, I chose the wrong person. No, he chose you because he knows you can do what he has called you to do. But we're like, I was reading Jeremiah. We're like Jeremiah when he said, Lord, I am too young. I can't even speak. And God said, you know what? No, don't tell me you're too young. I chose you since you were in your mother's womb. I chose you. So, and I love that. I like to read Jeremiah because Jeremiah was a great prophet. But like I said, he not only chose Jeremiah, but he chose you and me. And he's in you right now. And he said, what are you doing? What are you doing with me? What are you doing to my temple? He's in there, and sometimes we forget that he lives inside of me and he lives inside of you. He's right there. He is here right now. And he's talking to us. He is, what are you doing? I chose you not to come Sundays just to sit down. No, I chose you to do my will. There are thousands and thousands of people dying every day, and you and me have the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. We work with people and we don't even tell them nothing. Our neighbors don't even, some people don't even know we're Christians. We got to witness. We got to tell them about Jesus. That's why he chose you and me. So what are we doing, church? What are we doing? What's the greatest gift that you could ever have? The Holy Spirit inside of you and me. And he's waiting. I mean, I preached to some churches for real that my tears just came out. Because I felt like I was in a funeral, like everybody was dead. And I can literally see the Holy Spirit right there crying. I can see it. He said, they don't let me move. They don't let me do nothing. But I started and I spoke and I just started speaking in tongues and the Holy Spirit just fell and people started jumping. And you know why? Because they were dead. They needed somebody to come and preach to them. I mean, right here, I can feel the peace. When I come in, I can feel the Holy Spirit. Today, I felt it big time. And I know he's here. But you know what? He's inside of you too. You're not by yourself. When you feel lonely, when you feel trapped, whatever you're going through, he's right there. Yeah, he wants you to do his will, but he also wants to know that he loves you. And no matter what you're going through, he's right there to help you. And sometimes we ignore him. He's there all day. He's always there. He's always there waiting for you to, when are you going to pick up the Bible? Or when are you going to pray? Or what you're going to do? We don't do, sometimes we do. We go days without reading the Bible. And we only, like my brother was preaching about putting on kindness. But we got to put on Jesus too. We got to put on Jesus every morning. You need to put on Jesus. Not only on Sundays. We got to put on every morning before we walk out that door to go to work or whatever you're going to do. We need to put on Jesus. We need to show the people who we represent. We represent Jesus. And if the people are going to see Jesus, they're going to see us behind you and me. That's the only way they're going to see us. And believe me, brother, like I said, I sit up here and I can't believe that I'm here because I'm going to tell you a little bit of my testimony. 20 years ago. I was lost. I mean, really, I was a drug addict, an alcoholic. But I had my parents that were pastors. But I grew up and I just went the other way. But I had a praying mom that she never gave up on me. She always prayed. I live with my mom. And she, every time I used to party, you know, I live in the basement. I party every day. And I remember I used to go upstairs and I find her sleeping, praying. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm praying for you one day. You're going to be up there preaching. One day, God is going to change your life. Un día, one day. And he did. I used to say, no, my mom's, I used to think in my mind, well, the devil used to put that in my mind. She's crazy. How are you going to change? I thought I was going to die like that. But believe me, a prayer of a mom got a lot of power. I mean, keep praying for your sons or daughters, whatever, your grandkids, because God can change anybody. If he can change me, he can change anybody. Amen. People still see me in the streets out there in the neighborhood. Is that you? You look way different. He says, it's not me no more. It's Christ in me. Amen. That's why I look different, because it's not me no more. So anyways, when Jesus comes, he comes and lives in us, right? But he comes because we are the temple. What happens when you buy a house? Do you leave the house the same way? When you buy a house or you rent a place? No, you clean it, right? You put it the way you want to. But, you know, what if the old owner comes in? No, I don't want you to move this. I don't want you to clean this. No, he's a new owner. So anyways, we got to let Jesus do whatever he wants in our lives. There are things that he wants to clean up in our hearts, but we don't let him. There's stuff that he wants to knock down. Last night I was just more and more. He said, no, I'm the carpenter. And I came in there, and a carpenter loves to work at home, right? I know, because my dad was a carpenter, and man, he can go out in the morning. I can just hear him adding up more stuff, or, you know, another room or knocking stuff down. And like, wow, that's the way Jesus is. He's knocking walls that don't belong there. Walls of hatred. walls of envy. I don't know what we all have, you know, when we're in the past, or some of us, we still got stuff in there that Jesus wants to remove. But he says, you know, I came and live in this temple. This is my house now. You cannot keep the old stuff no more. But when he starts to remove it, sometimes it hurts us because we want to keep it. But he says, no, you can't keep that. That doesn't belong in my temple no more. That doesn't belong in my temple. Let me clean my temple. Remember when Jesus walked in there and he was mad? He walked in there, he flipped the tables. He was mad. He said, this is my Father's house. Well, you know, God, you are the Father's house, me and you. If you have Jesus in your heart, he lives in there right now. And he gets mad when we try to be like the world. We don't belong in the world no more. He said, the Bible said, do not be conformed to the world, but renew your mind daily. So, you know, if you want to be like Jesus, a lot of people say, I don't know what I have to do to be like Jesus. Read the word. Put that phone down and read the word. Put it down for a little bit. Facebook is not going to go nowhere. Twitter or whatever is not going to go. It's going to be there. An hour later, read the word. Believe me, this is going to help you. This is going to help your marriage. This is going to help your kids, your family, whatever you're going through right now. He said, I want to help you, but you need to live and open that beautiful book. Maybe a lot of people don't even have the Bible no more. They have their phones, right? But I don't like it really, because I know once I'm reading it, my Bible, I get a message or whatever. It's always something there. I like to have, I'm old school. I still have my Bible. I still have my Bible, because if I'm on a thing, and then I start reading, but let me check out Facebook. Somebody sent me something, and then by the time I know it, I'm way over there. And anyways, you can, as long as you read the Bible, it doesn't matter, but I'm just saying, God is good. How many believe God is good? Amen. I believe God is good, and like I said, God brought me from a long place. I was gone. But you want to know how I met Jesus? Like I said, my mom was praying, but God had to let something happen to me. Because sometimes we get so hard-headed that we don't listen to people. And believe me, before that happened, I used to be walking in the streets and people used to stop me. People that I didn't know, they'd be like, I don't know you, but God has something for you. He's calling you, and I just ignore him. I was always drunk, and I didn't care. Came out one year and the other year. But little did I know that God was going to prepare me. And I remember one day I was at my house partying. It was like 4 in the morning with my brothers. And my sister used to live a couple houses down. And that's the sister we used to be afraid of, because she was a Christian. And she'll start talking in tongues. And no matter what time of the night, she'll come and talk to you and prophesy to you. And I'd say, oh, here comes Lisa. And we all ran upstairs, and she wouldn't leave. He said, you didn't lock the door. I said, no. So she follows us to the room, and she was talking in tongues, talking and talking. And then she said, my son, I'm calling you. If you don't obey me today, you are going to go to prison. Believe me, a week later, I went to prison. I was in prison for 5 years. But those 5 years were the most wonderful years of my life, because I was free. That's when I met Jesus. I met Jesus in the county jail. He was already there waiting for me. He was waiting for me to say, okay, now I got your attention. Amen. And I remember, like, whoa, I got to the county jail and I was sitting there in the hole and I said, Jesus, if you're real, I'm tired. So believe me, brothers, I was tired. I was tired of saying no. I remember I said, I'm not going to drink no more. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to smoke no more. I'm not going to lie. I used to smoke crack. And the devil had me bound. And I used to sit there. And I said, I'm never going to do it again. I promise I'll don't. An hour later, I'll do it again. I said, I don't got no money. I'm not going to do it. The devil sent somebody, hey, you go buy me something. We're going to go get high. Every day. For 9.5 years, every day, I was all bones. I was skinny, all dirty. I didn't have a life. I was dying. I got so tired of that life that I tried to take my life 3 times. But God didn't let me. And I remember, I said, God, I tried this and I tried that, and it wouldn't help. But we live right there by 63rd and 13th, and the Viaduct was right there where the train passed, and we were living for there for so many years. I knew when the train passed. And I remember that day, I was partying for 4 days, and I was tired. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to tell nobody. I left everybody in the basement, and I just went up there. And I said, nobody, this ain't going to, it's not going to, I mean, it's got to happen now, because nobody, this is the train. I just went and laid down. I know when the train was going to pass. I was tired, brothers. I was tired of that life. So I said, nobody can stop the train. I'm just going to go, and I'm not going to tell nobody. And I went up there. And as I was passing out, because I haven't slept for almost 4 days, I heard somebody coming, walking in the gravel. You can hear the gravel. And I look, and it's one of my friends. I say, how did you know I was up here? He said, I went to your house, and I asked everybody in the basement, and they said, you were not here, and I asked your mom. He said, I don't know, go look outside. He said he was looking around the house, and he just felt somebody pushing him and pushing. They pushed him all the way up to the viaduct where I was laying down. And he like, what are you doing? He checked me. Are you crazy? Why you? I said, I'm tired, brother. I don't know how to stop. And a week later, that's when I went up to prison, because God knew the devil was using me to take my life. I wanted to take my life. I was tired. So when I got to the county jail, I said, God, if you're real, please deliver me from this. And right there, I just felt. And it was dark. They had me in the hole, but it was dark. But I felt his peace. I felt his peace. And I told God, I promise you, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And I've been serving God. It was 2001, so it's been 22 years. And I don't get tired of telling people who I was and who I am now. Because people need to know there is a God. That no matter how bound you feel, that you say it's impossible, God said, no, for me, all things are possible. He can break any chain. The chains you say is impossible, he says, I can break them. But like I said, I sometimes sit there at work or whatever, I just said, my tears just come out. I said, God, why did you choose me? Because all my friends I used to party, they're dead. They either died of liver failure or they died of overdose. All of them, and I'm family members, cousins, and all that, they're all dead. And God chose me of all my, like, I feel like the whole neighborhood, he chose me. Why? I tell you why, brother. Because he knows what I can do through him. He can do through me. Believe me, when I got to that prison, God used me in a mighty way. Hundreds of lives got saved in there. Amen. I went to one prison. And like, I walk in there, and they're like, nothing? You guys don't have no church? You don't have nothing in there? Oh, no. I said, well, I'll see about that. We're going to start Bible study. I started with one person. By the time I left that prison, I have all the tables full. And the warden called me in. He said, no, I don't want you to leave this prison. Since you've been here, well, the prison has flipped over. Mr. Cruz, I don't know what you're doing. Just stay here. I said, no, I got to go. I want to go back home. But anyways, why did God choose me? And why did he choose you? Because he knows you got the potential. He's asking you to do something for him. Believe me, when God chooses you, it's not just to sit down and come to church. No, he's got work for you. He's got work for me. So I don't know what you want to do. Are you going to keep on sitting down? What God is saying, you know, today, I want to use you. And I wrote a lot of stuff, and me, when I write, I don't even read. It just takes my time. I don't know. God takes me another way. And I say, God, why do you want me to write? Oh, I'm just going to stay there. But I'm going to want you to speak the other way. And I thank everybody that prayed for me today. People pray for me over there, people over there. And I know and God is good. But like I say, I love this church. I've been coming here since October. I have another testimony. How did I find this church? When I got out of prison, I was on Walgreens on 75th and Cherry Road. I remember I had like 3 years, maybe I think it was 2008 or 2009. I was sitting there with my daughter. And I said, "Do you want to go to Walgreens?" And I took her to Walgreens and she was in the line for the pharmacy. And I said, "You know what? I'm going to walk around." So I walked around and there was this Sunday teacher. And I don't know who it was. And she had a lot of young girls with her. I think it was, they prayed for me. They started talking in tongues. They prophesied to me. I never seen that before. And I said, "What church do you belong to?" That's when it used to be Tabernacle, right? Lake Church. And that really touched my heart. And that stayed in my mind forever. And I always wanted to come here. One day in my break in my room, I was in my car reading my Bible, and I was going to take a little nap. He told me, "I want you to go to that church." That's why I came. That's why I'm here. But you guys don't know the impact you guys did. I know it was the young girls. But now, you know, that was a couple years, like 10 years or no, 15 years ago or something like that. But they did a big impact in my life. So whatever you guys did, I pray that you guys keep doing it. Because even you see a little kid, little kids, they don't look like them, but God can use anybody. If you allow him, he can use anybody he wants. But we need to let him, you don't say, "God, I'm here. I am here." And but the devil will bring fear to you. He said, "No, you're not worthy. You can't do it. You're this and you're that." No, just don't listen to God. He's talking to you today. He's speaking to you. He said, "You can do it. You know what I'm telling you. You know what I called you to do, but you've been thinking about it. No, I can't do that." No matter how young, how old you are, God can use you. No matter what you did in your life, he forgives you. He forgave me. Believe me, I did a lot of bad things, and God forgave me. But I just want to thank God. And I do got to read another verse. I had a couple of verses, but you know what? Like I said, we are the temple of God. And he, when he comes and lives in us, it's because he loves you. And imagine that, the God that created everything. He can live anywhere. He lives inside of you. And what are you doing with that? You know, we have God. And I mean, really, really think about that. You got God inside of you. What are you doing with him? You can do anything for his glory. Not go anything crazy because he ain't going to let you do it. But what I'm saying is you can preach. You can witness. You can do evangelize. Go to Africa like my brothers are in Africa right now. You can do a lot of things. But it's up to us to let God move. Like I said, we put boundaries around the Holy Spirit. We don't let him go. The Holy Spirit wants to move, and we don't let him. And he said, "No, set me free. Set me free. I want you to do this for me." And sometimes we at work or something, and he tells you, "Go speak to that person." And you're like, "No, it's my mind." No, it's God telling you, do it. He's inside of you. Whenever he told you to do something, do it. Because the more you think about it, you ain't going to do it. Just the first time you hear it, just do it. And if it's not God, what you going to lose? Nothing. But believe me, he's done that a lot for me. And like I said, thank you for them, the young girls that prayed for me. And I know it was you and your sisters. I don't know if it was your mom, but it was a long time ago. I think it was 2009. And that made an impact. And I said, "God, they don't know what they did in my life." And that's why I'm here for real, because God chose me to come here. I don't know why, but I'm here, and I enjoy the time for real. I love the singing. They sing beautiful, the choir, everything. And I can, my wife said, "I feel a peace in this place. I can feel the peace of God." And he's here. He's here right now, brothers and sisters. He's right here. He's all around us. And he's telling you right now, "What are you doing for me? What do you want to do for me? What do you want to do? I'm right here. I will give you the strength, the wisdom, whatever you need. But you got to make the first step." Because we as a church, we get too comfortable. And we let the preacher, the pastor, whatever, do it. But we just want to hear. But what we hear, we leave it here and we go home. take what you receive today and use it. When you go home, say, God, okay, I'm right here. I want you to use me. I don't know what God is calling you to do, but I know if he chose you, he's got a purpose for you. So all of us that are here today, you're not wasting time. God chose you for a reason, like he chose me. I don't know where you came from. Maybe you were lost like me, but we all needed God. And believe me, some people say, I mean, I'm calm down right now. I'm a little bit nervous. But sometimes I just go off. And they tell me, why do you jump? Why do you do that? Why do you do that? I say, you don't know how the devil had me bound. But now I'm free. I'm free to run. I'm free to jump. I don't care if they tell me I'm crazy. I'm crazy for Jesus. I'm crazy for Jesus now. I don't care what people say. I don't care if they say I'm crazy. You don't know who I used to be. You don't know what he's done in my life. So he deserves all glory. He deserves everything, all my praises. And I don't care where I am, I'm going to praise God. And I'm going to tell people about this Jesus that saved my life, the same Jesus that can change anybody. Like I said, I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And I'm not going to ask him how, why, whatever. I'm just going to receive it. Amen. And I'll read one more verse. I think it's, let me see. I had a lot of verses, but I just want to read one verse. Amen. And it's in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. And that's when, you know, like I said, God chose you, but it's up to us if he wants to. Remember, the other verse was, he told them, follow me. And they left everything, and they follow him. But now he says, come. Come. Let me read that one. The Bible says like this. The word of God says, come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is telling you today, come, I have chosen you. Come to me. No matter how you feel, he's not just telling you that's a commandment. He says, come. Come, follow me. I chose you for a reason, and you've been sitting there for years. Come, and I will give you rest. Sometimes we have so many burdens, so many stuff, and we carry a whole luggage. And God said, give it to me today. Give it to me today. And if you want that freedom, do you want to praise God? Do you want to feel free? Some of us can't even move. Some of them can barely lift their hand. Why? Because you have a load in you. And Jesus is telling you today, come. I chose you, but you've been sitting there. But I want you to get up and come. Come with your broken heart. Come with that depression. Come, whatever's bothering with that sickness, come. I will fix it. I don't know how he does it, but when he tells you to come, he knows how to fix broken hearts. He knows how to fix broken spirits. He knows how to fix broken marriages. He knows how to fix rebellion kids. He knows how to do all that. But we gotta choose to come. So today, brothers and sisters, I don't know if you feel this word, but God is saying, come, my daughter. Then, come. I want you to know that I chose you for a reason. My son didn't just die on the cross in vain. He died for you and me. And he lives in you, not to just keep him in there. Like I have all kinds of testimony, but I can't say them because I'll be here all day. But I just want to say something. We keep Jesus locked up in our house. And we like I said, we put on Jesus. A lot of people, not we, forgive me, Sometimes we, there's a lot of Christians, they just put on Jesus on Sunday. And they forget about him. They leave him in the house, and they go Monday through Saturday without Jesus. But we got to put on Jesus every day. He lives inside of you. Don't forget about him. And I was telling my friend, what would you do if Jesus will walk with you all day? If he came and visit you, would you turn off the TV? Would you pay attention to him? And he said, of course, if you were sitting there, I'll do it. I say, he's in you. And we don't even, sometimes we don't even recognize he's right there. Do we say, Jesus, what do you want me to do? In the morning, whenever you have time, put that phone down and say, Jesus, okay, what do you want me to do today? Do you want me to pray for somebody? This nation needs prayer, like they were saying. The nation needs a lot of prayer. The youth needs a lot of prayer. The churches need a lot of prayer. Believe me, there's some churches, you don't know, they're churches no more. I mean, like I said, this church is different. I love this church. When I walk in here, I'm like, wow, this is a place. But anyways, one day I was going to preach about, behold, I knock in the door. And I remember I was going down Roosevelt. And I literally seen Jesus. I'm not going to say the church because I don't even know the name. I literally seen Jesus. I saw the door knocking. And I'm like, wow, what was that? And he told me, as I was driving, he said, they won't let me go in there. He goes, not only this church, there's a lot of churches. They don't allow me to go in there no more. Because they don't know me. Believe me, when you know Jesus, wow. He will transform your life. It's something beautiful when you get to meet Jesus. Like I said, there's a lot of people that go to church, they don't know Jesus. They know the stories. They know all the beautiful stories. But Jesus said, he don't want that. He wants you to know him personally. And one day, we're all going to be there in front of him. And we don't want them, like my brother was preaching, that they said, Lord, Lord, I was there, and I did this, and I did that. And I don't want to hear, get away from me. I never knew you. And there's a lot of people that say, God, I was there every Sunday. God, I was there every Wednesday. God, I did this. I donated money. God, I did that. He said, get away from me. I don't know you. Because what Jesus wants is a relationship. He's in there, and we need to know him personally. Like I said, you may know the stories. I mean, I know a lot of stories. Like, I know a lot of people in here know about football. They know the story. They know about, well, he's not a quarterback no more, right? That Rodgers. They know what he eats. They know, I mean, what he does, where he, you know, if you follow, there's people that follow every, but they don't know him personally. They don't know what he does in his house or whatever. That's the way God is. Jesus said, you may know my stories, but you don't know me. You need to know him personally. What happens when you know Jesus for real? There's got to be a transformation. And I was reading a story about Paul. When he was Silas, I was reading it yesterday, and he had an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus, what happened? Jesus knocked him down out of his horse. Jesus got to knock a lot of people out of their horses, for real. They think they're too high, and Jesus said, boom, he knocked Paul. He knocked him down. And what he did, he blinded them. He blinded them physically, but he spiritually, he opened his eyes. Amen. And he said, what do you want me to do, Lord? No, he said, Lord, what do you want? Or something like that, he said. And he said, he knew it was Jesus. But the only way he could meet Jesus, he needed an encounter. And so we all need an encounter with Jesus for real. So today, I don't know if you want to meet Jesus. He's here. I don't know if you guys want to pass. He's here. He said, you want to have an encounter with me? Not the baby Jesus, the real Jesus, the one that can set you free, the one that holds the world in his hands, your future, the day. Like I said, we don't know who holds the future, but we know the one who, I don't know what the future holds, but I know the one that holds the future. And his name is Jesus. And it's all I have. But like I said, if you want to today, Jesus is here. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you just know stories, but he never spoken to you. He wants you to know him personally. And believe me, once you hear him, it's something beautiful. He speaks inside because he's in there. Yeah, I remember when I was in prison, I used to have brothers, my black brothers. We have church every day, every morning and afternoon. And in days of the Lord spoke to me, the Lord did this and that. And I used to get mad, how come he don't speak to me? And I told Jesus one day, I said, I prayed all night. And I said, I'm not going to move until you speak to me. And I was passing out, falling asleep. And he said, get up, what you want? Then when he spoke to me, I didn't know what to tell him. I was just so happy I heard his voice. And ever since then, he always speaks to me, brothers and sisters. And he wants to speak to you today. That's all I have. But he's here today. If anybody needs prayer, anybody wants to meet Jesus, maybe there's people that don't have Jesus. Well, maybe you think, or you don't know. Some people don't even know. I don't know if I'm saved. How do you know if you're not saved? If you don't know, you better make sure you know. Because that's something you don't play with. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Today is a day of salvation. So if you want to make sure you have Jesus, come up here. He says, come, come. He's calling you today. Come over here. And I want to do something with your life. Maybe you say, I can't do that. And it doesn't matter. Whatever you have in your heart, God put it in your heart. He said, I want you to do that and much more. But you need to take the first step. Don't be afraid. Amen. And that's all I have. I mean, I don't want to keep on preaching. And I didn't preach the way I wanted to, but I'm nervous. But anyway, I just remember, we are the temple of God. He's in there. Wherever you go, he's there with you. But don't forget about him. Bring him with you. Let the people know who you represent. Like I said, God doesn't care about the church, whatever. Like I said, the people, the black church, white church, Mexican church, you know, we are the church. Amen. Amen. Chinese church, whatever. He said, no, you all, I die for everybody. Amen. And that's all I have. God bless you, brothers. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. God bless you. And I love you guys.